Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kelly S. I'm a recovered compulsive eater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Today is Tuesday, December 31st, 2024. Happy New Year's Eve. And this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. So today, we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in How It Works, page 68, second paragraph, says, "Perhaps there is a better way," through that one paragraph ending with, "to match calamity with serenity." Comments on that one paragraph. So today's readers are 12 Steps, Jen P., 12 Traditions, Karen W., Nancy P. is reading the text, Ashley F. reading page 164, and Kathy S. is our backup reader. Newcomer greeter is Chris W., and second hour host is Christine G. The reference number for yesterday, Monday, December 30th, 2024, in case you missed it or want to hear it again, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 22034, 22034. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time is 22035, 22035. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers," end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Jen P. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you for your service. This is Jen, a compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Jen P. So now I will ask Karen W. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, good morning, Karen.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Karen W. from Katy, Texas, recovering compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be a service this month, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Karen W. Okay, so here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then we'll stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. Somebody is not muted. If you could please check your phone, press star one, that'd be great. So we are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, what you'll do is you'll press star one to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star one to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. All right, guys, so we're resuming our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in How It Works. We're on page 68, the second paragraph there that says, perhaps there is a better way, through that one paragraph ending with, to match calamity with serenity. And we'll just be commenting on that one paragraph. And Nancy P. is going to get us started. Hey, good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. Perhaps there is a better way. We think so, but we are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting, trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role he assigns. Just to the extent that we do as we think he would have us and humbly rely on him, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity? Well, everybody must know that I'm an agnostic, so I don't care about God or anything. But I can tell you that, you know, as a data-driven chick, that so far, the surrendery part, like what this paragraph is talking about, has worked like a charm for me. Like the more I surrender, the not so much the better things get, although that's true, but the more serenity I have in my life. Like, I don't want to be frantic. I don't want to be manic. I don't want to be, like, wound tight as a drum, making sure that I'm abstinent. On the other hand, I was told by my sponsor that this program should pinch. I always tell my sponsees, if I sit on my couch with a fluffy bathrobe on or a blanket and a pair of sheepskin slippers, a cup of tea, and a book, the book is not going to get read. I'm going to fall asleep. But I'm sitting at my desk right now, and I can tell you there's no way I'm going to fall asleep here because the chair's not that, you know, it's not like a loungy chair, and I'm sitting in front of my computer, and, you know, I got all my stuff here, and it's not really a loungy kind of a place. So, you know, my life is not perfect by a long shot. I mean, on paper it's not, but it feels like it is because I'm at rest. That's what I want. I don't want to be manic. I don't want to be frantic. I want to be serene. I want to be at rest. And it says perhaps there's a better way, and perhaps means maybe, and maybe yes, maybe no. And so far, you know, for the past, just December 1st was 7 years, so far I've found a better way. And, you know, a theory is a premise that stands the test of time. And this doctor's theory that we have an allergy so far in my life has stood the test of time because I avoid the allergic foods and I avoid the allergic thinking. And how do I do that? Certainly surrender, 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 but the most effective thing that I do of anything that I do at all in my life, including brushing my teeth and my laundry and all the rest of it, is talking to other people. I cannot do this alone, and if I ever think that I can, I might as well take out a gun and shoot myself in the head. And, you know, anybody that thinks that they're doing okay alone, how is it really going for you? I ask my sponsees that all the time, and no one needs to answer, because if you're on this line, not well if you're trying to do it yourself. And everybody, call somebody else and talk to people every single day. You'll be amazed at what will happen. And it starts with one thing and one thing only. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy P., for getting us started. So, guys, we're going to open it up for sharing. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared yesterday or last Friday on any vision meeting, please allow other people the opportunity to share, and please keep your shares to 3 minutes. And give me your first name, initial of your last, and where you're calling from. I'm ready.
Melissa.
Julia.
Charles H.
Julia. Charles.
Rachel K.
Rachel.
Colleen.
Colleen. I missed a few people. I can't hear you.
I'm not sure if you heard me.
I did. Julie, gotcha.
Leia T.
Oh, thank you.
Leia T. Here's who I have. Melissa C., Charles, Rachel, Colleen, Julie, Leia.
Carolyn S. from New York.
Carolyn S. Somebody needs to press star one. I can hear chopping in the background. Make sure your phone
Julie
is muted.
E.B.
Julie E.B. Okay, let's just get started there. If everybody could please check your phone, make sure to press star one, make sure you're muted. Hear the little guy say muted, and then we'll have a nice quiet meeting. All right, let's get started with Melissa C., followed by Charles H. Hey, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Kelly. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in New York, and I like really waited because I wanted so much to share on this paragraph. This one just, it's one of my favorite paragraphs because it tells me how I'm going to walk through this life where life gets lifey and I don't lose my mind, you know, in the past. Anytime, you know, I would say like anytime anything did not go according to my plan, I would fall apart. And there is a better way. This is what we're told. And I'm also, when I read this paragraph, what it really tells me is it is so crucially important that I have a solid third step, that I have a trust and reliance upon God, that I'm willing to give everything to God, all of me. But that doesn't just mean that I give it all to God and then I lay back and, you know, all right, well, if nothing good happens, that must be God's plan. I have a part, right? And I have to do what I believe God is assigning me. And for me, you know, God has not given me the entire story, the whole script. He doesn't tell me the last page, that you know, how the story ends. What I get from God is small little snippets. I really believe, you know, through the work that I've done in this program, through my prayer and meditation practice, through working with others, by listening to meetings, by reading this book, I get direction. And what has happened for me is that when calamity has striked, you know, and I've had some huge, you know, just like everybody, right? I'm not unique. Life presents difficulties. But when I really do what I believe God wants me to do in the moment, in the day, piece by piece, I feel a sense of calm. I'm not as concerned with the outcomes. And, you know, one of my biggest experiences with this, I've had two. One was with, you know, my daughter. I had two things with my daughter, both of which involved, like, out of my hands, you know, her being either driven to a hospital or called from a hospital that she's there. And I had no ability to do anything except what I believed God would have me do. And what would God have me do? be calm, be loving, not overreact, you know. And by the way, pack my food. Like how really God tells you to pack your food? Yes, for me he does. Because if I would have picked up something in that moment, I would have had no clarity to make any good decisions for my girl or for anyone else around me. And this continues today. You know, I show up for my mom, I do the same kind of thing, and then I'm calm. God is in the outcome, and I'm in the day-to-day. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, perfect timing. Thanks, Melissa C. from New York. Next up, we have Charles H., followed by Rachel K. Hey, good morning, Charles.
Hey, good morning, Kelly. I'm Charles H., recovered compulsive overeater. I'm also rejuvenated, reincarnated, registered. You know, hey, what's up, man? I'm feeling relieved. You too. I'm relaxed, just chilling. And you know, it's great to be in this thing called life, and it's great to embrace my feelings. And, you know, my frustrations, my ego, my anxiety and resentments, it's great to embrace these things because that's part of life. And if I'm not embracing those things, if I'm coming on a meeting saying, hey, you know, I'm so recovered that I never feel fear or I'm never angry or I don't have fear of misplaced anger or right. Like, I don't know what I don't know. What are we doing, Charles? What are we really doing? Right. I need to embrace my feelings are not facts, but it's real. It's my thoughts that's skewed. And right. And we have a program of action that if practiced, you know, my fears can dissipate and they're going to come back again. Right. So I'm so grateful to be in this thing called life one day at a time. And with that, I pass.
Well, thanks, Charles. Caught me off guard. That was Charles H. from New York. Next up, we have Rachel K., followed by Colleen. Hey, good morning, Rachel.
Good morning, Kelly EYS. This is Rachel K. from Indiana, and this is one of my favorite paragraphs. And not to crosstalk, but so somebody else is a data-driven chick. I like algebra. I am that nerd. And so this paragraph gives me an equation. It's like, just remember. So yeah, I'm going to make you do math. Remember in algebra, like on one side of the equation, whatever you did on one side of the equation, you had to do on the other side. So it says, like, just to the extent that we rely on God and do as God wants us to do. So just as much as we do that, are we able to match calamity with serenity? So just to the extent that I do as God would have me do, so if I only do that a little bit, then I'm only able to match calamity with serenity a little bit. Then I'm going to have very little peace if I only do a little bit of what God wants me to do. If I really do my best, and nobody's perfect, right? But if I am fearless and thorough and do my best to do what I think God wants me to do, what I think God wants me to do, of course I don't know. But, you know, I have a hunch, and I know what God doesn't want me to do. So just to the extent that I do that, if I do that a lot, if I do that throughout the day, I'm going to be able to match calamity whenever it comes up. And it comes up a lot, like little calamity, big calamity. Will I be able to match that with serenity? Will I be able to match life in general with serenity? And, you know, I like also to crosstalk again, I like the idea that, yeah, program's going to pinch a little. This is not easy. Nothing good that I've ever gotten has been gotten without a little bit of pinch, has been gotten without a little bit of sweat and burning up some calories. And that means that, for example, yesterday, I really, really, really wanted to respond to a text from my mom and my sister. I really wanted to respond. But you know what? There was not a question mark at the end of their text, which means it was not a question. And if there's no question mark in a communication to me, whether it's a text or an email or a verbal communication, if there's no question mark, that means, guess what? I don't have to answer. I can surrender. That means it wasn't a question. It wasn't a question to me. So I didn't respond. I surrendered. And guess what? You know, I had a much more serene day than if I had put in my 2 cents. Much more serene. I was able to match calamity with serenity. So anyway, thanks for calling on me. Happy New Year to everybody, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel K. from Indiana. So next up, we have Colleen, and then followed by Julie R. Colleen, I didn't get the initial of your last name, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Kelly, thank you. Colleen M. from Maryland. Thanks, everyone who's doing service. I just wanted to share about this great paragraph. And, you know, we've just done, this is one of the promises of the program. We've just done this inventory. We've looked at all of our fears and our resentments, and we've looked at our part in them. And now it says that, you know, we're going to be living on a different basis, the basis of trusting our God, not our finite self. And this is where the turn for me came in my recovery, you know, with the food down and really looking at, you know, the lies that I told myself all my life and the, you know, the fears that ran me, and to be able to see my part in it. And that's where God starts making changes, at least for me. And, you know, I'm in the world today to play the role that he assigns. You know, that is what I look to, you know, as my North Star. You know, what would God have me be? And it says that, you know, that we are, you know, God would have us be to do what we think he would have us do. What's the next right thing to do? And I make plenty of mistakes. I often choose the wrong thing, but then I get to go back because my higher power continues to guide me because I choose to do these steps and to have a daily relationship with my higher power. He continues to guide me in the ways that I need to change and healing that needs to happen. And, you know, I humbly rely. I had to get humble before my God. That was the other thing. I had to stop playing God and get humble. And I do have, you know, serenity and when life gets lifey, and I love, you know, God's in the outcome. I'm in the doing, he's in the outcome. And, you know, it's just really struck me this morning. I could say this is one of my favorite paragraphs, but I'd say that about so many different paragraphs. I'm in the world today to play the role God would have me do to the best of my ability with the knowledge that I have today. And hopefully he'll continue to give me more knowledge if I keep doing this work. Thanks for letting me share. Have a great day. Happy New Year.
Well, thanks so much, Colleen M. from Maryland. I didn't know that was you. Good to hear you. All right, next up we have Julie R., followed by Leia T. Hey, good morning, Julie from California. Julie R., star one.
I was just talking away. Julie R., recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service, Kelly. And I was just so excited about this paragraph because I'm kind of living in here right now. You know, it says, for we now are on a different basis. So it's like Julie creating chaos or trusting and relying upon my creator. You know, those are really the two choices I have every day. And just that last part, just to the extent that we do as we think he would have us, humbly rely on my creator and enable me to match calamity with serenity. I have got, just like everybody else, so much stuff going on. You know, I've shared this before. My best friend's sister is in a memory care. I've lost her, mostly, but still there. My older sister, who I never had a relationship with, I'm about to put her in a home, sell her house, do all of these things that I never thought I would do. My husband still is not the same, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, do I want to stay in that calamity, which I kind of did the other day, and I just kept on going to God. And then, of course, my sponsor and my spiritual sisters, because I can't live in that calamity. I will at times because I'm human, but I can't function as a spiritual being if I'm still trying to take control and do everything I want to do or what I think is right. And I took so much action yesterday, got a realtor, got this, got that. And it's only because I can't stay and be in charge, because that's what happens. I'm in calamity when I'm in charge. I'm in calamity when I don't seek my creator throughout the day. I'm in calamity when I think I know what the right thing is. And I am so blessed with some women in my life that just are my, I don't know what they are, but they're angels almost. And of course I can't eat. I can't eat over any of the things because then I'll really be in calamity. But yeah, God is great. And I couldn't do this without my creator. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Julie R. from California. Next up, it was Leia T. followed by Carolyn S. Leia T.?
Good morning. This is Leia T. from Connecticut. I'm a compulsive overeater living in recovery. And this is the first time that I've been able to share. Usually I'm in my car driving and I have the day off and not going to work. So it's a whole new experience to actually have the book in my hand and to be able to look at the page and be really in the meeting. And so I'm just so grateful for that. And for me, this paragraph is so full of the humility that I have found in this program and that I continue to strive for. Even the opening, perhaps there is a better way, is I think I'm struggling with this next level of recovery. The food is down, but so much of this trusting relationship is still evolving for me. And what I hear in this paragraph is that I have to change so much of how I'm living. I am in the world to play the role that God assigns. And I sometimes get so caught up in roles that other people assign me. And I don't quite know what to do. There's just so many things on my plate. And I know that putting food on my plate is not going to help me, but I do know that turning to focus on what God would have me do, what God's role is for me, would help me match serenity with calamity. I feel a little bit overwhelmed by a sense of calamity in my life these days, and so this is just really helpful. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Leia T. It's always good to hear new voices sharing. Welcome. That was Leia T. from Connecticut. Next up, we have Carolyn S., followed by Julie E.B. Hey, good morning, Carolyn.
Hi, this is Carolyn S. in New York, a recovered compulsive overeater. Happy New Year, everybody. So the word that jumped out at me from this paragraph is trust. I've never trusted easily or fully because I'm kind of cynical sometimes about the world. But this is like the ultimate act of trust. This is my whole life. This is the lives of my children and my husband and my parents. I trust God. Not that they won't have calamities in their life. Not that they won't get sick or die. Or I trust that whatever happens to me or to them, God will be there. And I'm not promised an easy life, but I'm promised the power to handle what life comes, what it throws at me. And so today I choose to trust in God because he is infinite and unlimited. There is no limit to his love for me or his power to help me or others. I just need to reach out to him and trust that, in one of those trust falls, right, he's got me. I can fall backward and be completely serene in the knowledge that he will not let me fall. And it reminds me, in the Sistine Chapel in Rome, there's a mural on the ceiling of God and Adam. And Adam is reaching out his hand to God. God's completely extended, like he's got the finger all the way out there. And Adam's is like bent down a little bit. And literally all Adam has to do is lift his finger a couple of inches and they'll have contact. And that's how I think about God. Like, he's right there. He's doing everything he can. I'm the one that has to make the tiny effort of lifting my fingertip. That's it, and I pass. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much, Carolyn S. from New York. So before we move on, let me remind everybody where we're at. We are in the Big Book, and we are in How It Works, page 68, second paragraph. It says, perhaps there is a better way. And we're reading through that one paragraph ending with, to match calamity with serenity. And we are commenting on that one paragraph. And we'll move on to Julie E.B., and after Julie, we'll be opening up for more shares. Hey, Julie, where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Julie E.B. calling from Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I haven't been able to listen live in quite a time. And yesterday hearing several of my recovered sponsees share just in the first hour, it was just a miracle of healing, you know, to think about how God keeps magnifying the miracles of this program. You know, if you're desperate and dying in this disease, as I was, bedbound, now today up and moving, you know, find yourself a sponsor and guide through the book and get moving, because guess what? There might be a better way. Perhaps it just opens this little crack. Perhaps there's a better way. I think so. Being on a different basis, trust and relying on God, these are really big concepts for me. And I had to learn one thought at a time, one thought at a time. Oh, I'll try this myself. Oh, well, you know what? When I fall flat on my face, that's exactly where my higher power meets me. Trusting an infinite higher power rather than our finite self seemed impossible to me because, frankly, when I was growing up, I felt like the universe had let me down. And when I was in my disease, I felt like the universe was letting me down. But one day I had just a spiritual experience or awakening regarding this finite self or infinite God as I would review my fears in my life. And I pictured the sky as a dot-to-dot. And if you don't know what a dot-to-dot is, look it up on the internet. I tried to explain this once to my 20-year-olds, and they had not, you know, seen dot-to-dot. But anyway, it's like all the stars in the sky are a dot-to-dot. And when I'm in fear, there's only two ways things can go, all great or all horrible. And yet if I'm learning to trust finite, if I'm trusting finite self, it's either going to go great and I'm going to conquer it and everything's going to go my way, I'm going to control everything, or nothing. And I'll have depression, anxiety, and frozen, and or fawning. And so I picture, when I picture infinite God, even if I don't have an idea of God, and just a person who has some idea there's a higher power in the universe, I picture all those stars, and I picture, how do I move across the sky if those stars are a dot to dot? There's not one path. There's an infinite number of paths. I can go forward, then back, forward, forward, hopping to the next star, then sideways, then sideways, then the next star, then over. There's an infinite number of paths. And when I am trusting and relying on my higher power, I have this perspective that I'm just this one dot, and I'm just in this one place, this one present, and there's an infinite number of possibilities. And the fear and the panic and the anxiety begin to ease up in me. Recently, a friend sent me a message and was recently someone on this line was sharing. Sorry.
That's fine,
and,
Julie.
Friend, all right. Share that we're in the dot, and the dot to dot only makes sense looking back. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
All right, thank you. That was Julie E.B. from Colorado. All right, guys, we're going to open this up. So again, if you haven't shared yesterday or last Friday on any vision meeting, we'd love to hear from you. So who would like to share on today's paragraph?
Susan
S.H. Reba P.
Susan
E.B. Carol P., Michigan.
Trisha D., Georgia.
There was several people I missed. It was all jumbled. So I got a Susan, an Amy, a Carol, and a Trisha.
Jeannie B. from Florida.
Amy B., I got you.
Reva P.
Reva.
Jeannie B.
Anita L.
Okay. Was it Jeannie?
Yes.
Okay. So here's who I have, and if you've already said your name, let me know. So if you've already said your name, here's who I have: Susan, Amy, Carol, Tricia, Reva, Anita, and Jeannie. Did I miss anybody that's already said their name? All right. Well, let's just stop there because I never know about the time thing. Everybody, please make sure your phone's muted to star one, and we'll get started with Susan. So please remember, give me your last initial and where you're calling from. Hey, Susan.
Good morning. This is Susan S.H. I'm in Ohio. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater for today. And in the middle of here, we look at these. Basically, I always look at these three paragraphs. And these are the directions to navigate my fear. I must admit that fear, it comes up. It certainly does. But the difference today, being in recovery, is that I don't dare look away. I don't dare pretend it's not there. That was my go-to. That's how I reacted in my disease. Today, I don't have to avoid fear at all costs, like even maybe at the cost of my abstinence. I can face my fear and take it to my higher power. And I get what it says here when I do what it says here. I ask him to take and direct my attention, to take the fear, direct my attention to what he would have me be, which is in a paragraph, but nevertheless, I see that whoever my higher power is would have me be trusting in higher power, in unconditional love. And that, it sets me free. It sets me free. It doesn't mean the fear is all gone, but it means I can remember, oh yes, I gave this fear to my higher power. It's with him. He has this. I don't know where it goes from here, and I'm not in the outcome business. But I trust unconditional love for me and for my loved ones and for every face I see. Every face I see is a beloved child of this higher power, as I am. I can trust it, and it eases my fear, and it gives me some serenity in the middle of my fear. So, yeah, very grateful for the clear-cut directions that we have in the steps. They are so clear, and, yeah, trusting higher power is the thing I need to do every day in every situation, and I will pass with that.
Well, thank you so much, Susan S.H. from Ohio. Next up, we have Amy B., followed by Carol. Hey, good morning, Amy. Where are you calling from? Amy, press star one. All right, well, we're not hearing Amy, so we'll move on. We'll circle back. So, Carol, I didn't get the initial of your last name. Are you available?
Hi, this is Carol P. from Michigan.
All right, you're up.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, just share. I've been on the mind since June. I've only shared once. So just sharing for me today is relying on God and not myself, and just not doing this alone. Just feel like part of the meeting if I share. And I never realized in that picture of the Sistine Chapel that Adam's finger was bent and not straight and straight to God. And I have that plaque in my room, and it just took on new meaning. And I'm going to look at that plaque and just see that, you know, if I just straighten my hand out and really go to God, he's right there waiting for me. And just a lot of new information today that is really hitting my soul. So I'm really grateful to be on the line today and to be part of this meeting. So thank you for letting me share. Carol P. in Michigan.
Well, thanks so much, Carol P. All right, next up we have Tricia and then Reva P. Tricia, I didn't get the initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
This is Tricia D. from Georgia. And good morning and Happy New Year's Eve. this phrase, the line here that says, we are in the world to play the role that he assigns. You know, if I don't stay close to God every day, I forget about the role that he assigns me. My spiritual depth guide reminds me to say, I pray, Lord, show me, grow me, and, you know, just be there with me always. You know me, show me, grow me. And when I'm not, when I'm in my ego, when I'm in my, I just finished steps 6 and 7, 8 and 9, and whoa, what a house cleaning that was for me, and still is. And I still see my arrogance. I still see my self-centeredness. And the only thing that helps me is to just get calm and get quiet and to say, Lord, show me the role that you want me to be. Because without you, I go into those ugly neighborhoods in my brain, and I know that that's not where he wants me. And so only when I can get out of my self-centered self and say, Lord, where can I be of help? Where can I be of help to you and to others? And I must, of course, it's got to be his power and not mine. And that's where I have to go every moment, stay in that present moment and stop going in the path of the future and wanting other people to think like me or be like me. And it just, oh, you know, it's like that inner monster within me that I have to pray, Lord, take that away and let me be the person that you want me to be. So I just thank you for the 12 steps. For newcomers on the line, stay in there. It is such a beautiful journey of learning how to know yourself and allow God to grow yourself, grow you in his image. Thank you for letting me share. And I pass.
Well, thank you, Tricia D. from Georgia. So next up, we have Reva P. followed by Anita L. Hey, good morning, Reva. Reva, star one.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
I can.
I hate to ask that question, but I am having so many techie problems this morning. So good morning. This is Reva P., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. And I love this paragraph because every time I do inventory, whether it's step 4 or 10, and I look at my fears, if I'm in fear, I'm usually, all the time, in self-reliance. And, you know, this, it says, I trust infinite God rather than my finite self. It sounds so simple, but this is really, really, it's hard. It's really something that uses my spiritual muscles. And this business of calamity, matching calamity with serenity. Calamity, an event causing great and often sudden damage or distress, catastrophe, tragedy. And I get to match that with serenity. What a promise, a state of being calm, peaceful, untroubled, absence of mental stress or anxiety. Wow, I strive for those things, and only God can enable me to be in that kind of a state. And for me, what I've learned through experience is calamity, yes, there are circumstances that feel like calamities. But in my experience, if I am really trusting God, I can get through those experiences quite serenely. But I'll tell you, sometimes calamity is not the external circumstance. Sometimes the calamity, you know, the fear, fancied or real, like sometimes my fears of something what others would consider objectively not so tragic or serious, I can make it a catastrophe. So the calamity is what my mind does with seemingly simple events or situations. And it's telling me that it doesn't matter whether it's an external or an internal calamity. As long as I trust God, well, it's a condition here. If I trust God, I play the role that he assigns. I humbly rely on him. You know, I do the work. And for me, sometimes trust is just doing the next right thing. It's not necessarily a feeling. I don't necessarily feel like totally peaceful. I just move one foot in front of the other, the next right thing, and then I get through stuff. So I am so grateful for this paragraph. What an amazing promise. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Reva P. from Toronto, Canada. Before we go to Anita, I was just going to circle back and make sure there wasn't an Amy B. Probably didn't hear it correctly, but is there an Amy? All right. It's probably
I think it's
not that.
The Jeannie B. that's at the end.
Yeah, I got you, Jeannie, but...
I know, but I think it was the... All right, bye.
Thanks for helping me. I always appreciate it. All right, so we do have Anita L. next, and then Jeannie B. So good morning, Anita. Where are you calling from?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Kelly. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. First of all, what a beautiful way to end 2024. Reading this paragraph, I have the whole thing underlined. And I never really thought about it before someone said this is her favorite paragraph. And it is the way to show her how to live and be well. And that's so true now that I'm reading this again. There's a lot I could say and just a few minutes to say it. So what came to mind, the last thing, you know, I was already trying to think about what I was going to share, but the last thing that came to my mind was about trust. And last year, it was October, and something was supposed to happen, and I was feeling so much fear. And I was doing my prayer meditation time, and part of that, I do a two-way writing. And I had written to God, I surrender this, I give this over to you. And in my meditation, one of the last things I said to God before my time was ended, because I timed myself 20 minutes, I said, God, I am yours and I trust you. And then I say, God, please let this be your letter when my time is up from meditating. And God wrote back to me. And God said, this is just a jaw dropper for me. God said to me, you said that you trust me. But were those just really words that you say? Or do you really mean them? Because if you meant them, that you would trust me and you would do, you know, what God directed me to do. And my mouth just dropped open. And it took me like 5 seconds or so to really think, can I do this? Can I really trust God? And it kind of brings to mind of the guy at the top of the cliff who falls and grabs onto a tree branch and says, God, please help me. And God says, let go. And then the guy says, is there anybody else up there? So this is what I had to do. I had to trust God. And I said, okay, God, I will trust you. I will trust you. I will do this. And I went out and told my husband, I'll do, you know, no problem. Let's just do it. And when, you know, a miracle happened about an hour and a half later. Why? Because it's infinite God and I am finite self.
That's
so,
time, Anita.
Thank you. That was a miracle. And when I can trust, I can live happy, joyous, and free. Happy New Year to everyone tonight. I pass.
Thank you, Anita L. from Pennsylvania. All right, Jeannie B., you're up. And then we'll take a couple more shares.
Hi, this is Jeannie B, JeannieB from Florida. I love this paragraph. I have had a crap year, and that's just the gentle language. I know I'm not alone in that. And I love this paragraph because it's to the degree to which I love that this is to the degree to which I can match serenity with calamity with serenity, because It's the degree to which I can surrender that I find that peace. I can tell you that all my plans, Jeannie's plans, didn't work out. And yet God had other plans, my higher power had other plans, and these other plans that were not on my agenda and not in my mind, they actually were better than my plans. So when I was sad and despondent at times when my plans didn't work out, then all of a sudden a new plan came and something worked out and a corner was turned. So I hear this paragraph this morning and I am like, yes, yes, the degree to which I can surrender and just be in, guide me, yes, guide me, I heard you, guide me, yes, and be out of the outcomes business, as somebody else has said. I love that. Be out of the results business. Such a great mantra for me, because I have lived on my self-will. I have gotten so far in life by determination, persistence, perseverance. These are qualities I love in myself, and yet they don't seem particularly relevant most of the time in a spiritual life. It is receive the information, receive the guidance, and act accordingly and stay out of what the outcome is. What a journey, what a difficult journey. May 2025 please be better for me and for all of us. Thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Jeannie B. from Florida. I do have time for another share too.
Elizabeth D.
Elizabeth? All right, Elizabeth, go ahead. Where are you calling
Hi.
From, Elizabeth?
I'm calling from the Boston area. My name is Elizabeth D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. What a great meeting. Thank you for your service, moderator. Perhaps there's a better way. We think so. I've had an experience over the holidays that has shown me yet again the power of this paragraph, working this paragraph. I'm raising my daughter on my own, emotionally, financially, in every which way. She is applying to graduate schools, and I have just finished paying for her undergraduate school, and now she's telling me she wants to go another year for graduate school, and I'm so proud of her. The fear came when I was trying to figure out how I was going to help her pay for it. I just immediately went into fear that lasted for, 3 or 4 days, where it was just walking around with me, this fear. And then I did what the program has taught me to do. And that is, first of all, keep the food down. Keep the trigger foods and behaviors and ingredients down long enough to let the program work if I work it. So I picked up the spiritual tools. I worked them really hard. Lots of quiet time, meditation, talking to other fellows in program, writing, and I did those things. And then I had an experience, as I've had before, where all my fear, the fear just turned almost in a moment to curiosity. And that's the best way to describe it. All of a sudden, I had the thought, oh, I wonder which school she's going to choose. We'll figure out one way or the other how to handle the finances. She's an adult now. I am parenting her as an adult. I'm not parenting her as an 8-year-old. So you will let her take responsibility for her part. I will take responsibility for my part. I will give up the outcome to God. I am not in the outcomes business. And I wonder where she's going to go. I wonder where she's going to end up. So that's what it means by turning calamity into serenity. The curiosity for me is serenity. It is a sense of, I wonder what my higher power has in store for us. So long as I keep the food down long enough to pick up these spiritual tools and work them hard, calamity will turn into curiosity. And curiosity is also about gratitude. Like, grateful she has these options, and I know we'll find a way, and I'm just very grateful for this meeting this morning, because it's another reminder to me of who I am and the fellowship I'm in and the higher
power. That's kind, Elizabeth.
And I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thanks for wrapping us up. Elizabeth D. from Boston. And what a wonderful meeting. So thank you to everyone who shared and showed up. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study today, immediately following our closing. The share ID for today, December 31st, 2024, New Year's Eve, is 22037, 22037. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Ashley F., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks, Kelly. This is Ashley F., recovered in Kentucky. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you